allies, and anybody that wants to learn more about the LGBT plus community. My name is Zanardi, and I'm so glad all your beautiful faces are here. Hello, family, and welcome back to the Alphabet Mafia podcast. Our guest today is a personal friend of mine and true inspiration to anyone seeking to make a change in their life or unhappy with their current situation or environment. The funny thing is that we actually knew each other in college, but we didn't really know each other. We were both closeted, we were both harboring internal shame, and that resulted in us living very different lives than the lives we're living now. And so over the past few years, we've both done a tremendous amount of growing, and that's really what this episode is about. It's about personal growth, it's about taking leaps of faith and putting yourself into a better position where you can be more happy, you can be more comfortable. And so you'll get some insight into my own personal journey. Molly shares her personal journey as a bisexual woman. And we also touch on wealth inequality and some of the social issues that our society is currently facing. Molly's a wonderful, terrific gal. She moved to Colorado on a limb and works in ski resorts. And I think you'll enjoy this episode. If anything, it's just friends having a conversation that's fairly inspirational and positive. So guys, gals, non-binary pals, give it up for my friend, Mary High. Molly, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's been so long since we last talked or since we last saw each other, like in a face-to-face thing. I know we've been keeping up on social media, but I'm glad that we got to reconnect.
It's been so long. It's literally been like probably 3 years or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, since 3 years, and we were in Mississippi. We were in college together. And things looked quite different, both for our personal lives and the way the world was. So, yeah. I remember we like met in, was it like freshman year when we were hanging around Sigma Pi?
I think we either met freshman year or sophomore year. But the first time that I really remember hanging out with you was on that like really big shit show of a trip we took to Bama.
Yes.
And that like, I'll never forget. That was a bad weekend.
I remember, but I don't remember that trip. I was telling my friends the other day because they were asking me for some crazy stories about fraternity. And I actually brought that story up, how we were driving at like, it was the night after a party, right? We were driving at like 8 a.m. all the way to Tuscaloosa, drinking. Obviously not the driver,
as passengers.
As passengers. And it was just this whole shit show. And there was a time where we stopped at Wendy's, and I don't remember that happening.
Yeah, I don't know. And I remember we did stop at a Waffle House on the way out as well. And like shenanigans ensued at that Waffle House at like 8 a.m. That's just like a place I wouldn't return to after that trip.
No. Well, also, it's funny because we have both grown up a lot in the past few years and our worldviews and our perceptions of the world and ourselves even. I remember like in college I was, you know, closeted at the time and I was a Trump supporter. Do you recall that? Like what did you think of old Ryan?
I honestly thought you were a good time, but like I feel like we were both doing like really self-destructive things back then, mm-hmm. like our behaviors of like drinking and acting crazy or especially for me. And then, you know, like I remember like my political views, my worldviews were all just like what everybody around me in that state was saying. And so I was just, you know, kind of bouncing off of that and agreeing with that. And I didn't even see anything wrong with it at the time. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't think it was wrong. I didn't think it was, like, hurting anybody to, like, you know, say that I supported Trump or, like, say that I supported the state flag or any of that stuff. I just thought that, like, that was, you know, all the cool kids were doing it and I really wanted to fit in. And so, you know, I just behaved like a sheep and just kind of followed them. And I was like, whatever. I didn't even think about, you know, the fact that it could be hurting people. So,
yeah,
I guess we both grew up.
It's one of those things where you're like in a bubble of ignorance almost. And yeah. I know for me personally, I went to Mississippi. I chose Ole Miss as a place to go to school, part because I was running away from who I was like internally. Like I was struggling with, I knew I was like gay, or I didn't want to address it. So I was like, well, if I go to Ole Miss and join a fraternity and be a Republican, like, then they're not going to think I'm gay, and then I'm not really gay, right? So
it's so funny how that, you like kind of really do think that. I mean, I don't think I was conscious of it, right? Like, I don't think that I like made that choice thinking like, oh, well, you know, like I want to go down to Mississippi because like I definitely couldn't be gay if I went there, you know? But yeah, I mean, that probably plays a factor in it, right? You're just thinking like environmentally, like if I'm somewhere where it's not really accepted or talked about, then maybe it'll just go away.
Yeah, for sure. And so now you're thriving. Now you're a bisexual girl living in Colorado. You're dating a man, and it seems like that you're more of who you want to be and living more authentic to yourself.
Yeah, it's been like super nice. Honestly, when I moved to Colorado, like I really just said like fuck Mississippi. I had saved up like $3,000 because I wanted to take this huge trip. Like I wanted to go to Egypt by myself and maybe see like more of North Africa than just Egypt. But yeah, I woke up one day and I was like, I have to spend this $3,000 to get out of this state.
Yeah.
And so I left and I came to Colorado, and I think like in a way I just like stopped giving a shit what people thought like the moment I set foot in this state. And so I never, like, I pretty much have lived really openly since I've moved here. And also it's like, nobody cares here. I feel like in Colorado, sexuality is like really fluid and nobody cares. It's almost like nobody's really straight, which is like something that people joke about, but it really does feel that way. And so it's just so easy to be like here and just be who I am and like do what I want to do.
What inspired you to make that move? I guess, or I know it takes a lot of courage to kind of say fuck everything and then do something like that. So what inspired you to make that leap?
I'm a Sagittarius and I was bored. But also, no, but like on a serious note though, like the people I worked with were not the most politically forward thinking. And I was a woman in this industry that was dominated by men. And it was just, it got to the point where, you know, without going into detail, some comments were said. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I don't think I want to stay with this company and continue working with these people who think this way. And then I thought, well, if I'm not doing this job, then why am I even in this state?
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, I like to ski. And so I literally told my mom and dad, like, I think I'm going to go to Colorado and become a lifty or something. And I was like, I don't know what to do with myself. I think I'm going to go. And they like really thought I was bullshitting. They told me I wouldn't. And so that made me do it.
Yeah.
And I never spent a season as a lifty. I actually worked in a different job. But yeah, I literally just woke up one day and was like, I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm not going to sit and listen to these like misogynistic and racist and backwards AF remarks anymore. And I'm just going to leave. So.
And clearly it worked out good, or it's put you in a better place, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, literally in terms of just like the way I'm living, like mental health, physical health, just like overall happiness and being able to just be myself. It's so good to find. I feel like I finally arrived at where I need to be.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's nice. And
I never knew, like in college, like I didn't know you were bisexual. I mean, you weren't out, but and you didn't know I was gay, I don't think, or did you?
Well, I have no idea. I literally could not have told you. I honestly, like, whenever I saw that you had, like, moved and you were, like, out and open and living your best life, I was like, holy shit, I did not know, but, like, go you. Awesome.
Likewise. And that, yeah, I guess I was good at playing the part. I always say it's method acting. That's what children in the closet have to do. So.
Yeah.
So when did you, cause you never really like came out on any, you never like made a coming out post or did anything super publicly. So when did you, I guess, start, exploring your bisexual side and open up to that? part of you?
Well, so I in high school, like I kind of started to know that I wasn't completely straight. And so, but then, you know, that was the age where I was kind of experiencing all of that, like internalized homophobia that closeted people so typically do. And so, yeah, I was like super freaked out by it. Like, really, it was like I would kiss a girl and then I would like go and fucking cry about it. Like, I was so just torn up about it. And then in college, like I sort of started to like very secretly talk to girls. And then, but yeah, and then, you know, with that, then you experience like a lot of weird like biphobia and closeted person phobia. And so then, you know, like through all of those experiences, I was like pretty solidly like, yeah, I know for a fact that I'm definitely not straight. And yeah, and so then I came to Colorado and I just was like, you know what, screw it. Like, if anybody asks, I'll tell them the truth. Like, what does it matter at this point? Like, I am what I am. So there's no point lying and hiding.
And what how for people listening that are bisexual or questioning or not really sure of figuring themselves out, what kind of steps would you suggest taking for someone that it was in your position that might be experiencing subtle internalized homophobia or just not really understanding who they are?
I think, gosh, I wish I had like a really good solid answer for that. I really don't. But I think, you know, what happened really for me was just this journey of like having to accept myself and accept that like it wasn't going to change. So that internalized homophobia was telling me like even, oh, you just think that you're bi, like you think that you're into girls, but you're not really. And like waking up and being like, oh my God, am I, or am I just saying it? 'Cause like, I don't, 'cause I, for attention or something. And yeah, finally just, you know, taking steps to like, and like journaling and really like thinking it through with myself. And yeah, then it eventually you do kind of just come to terms with the fact that like it's not ever going to change, it's not ever going to go away, and it's not something that you should want to go away or change. It's just who you are. And I think like growing up in the South, it was a lot harder to like rid myself of those like negative connotations of it, just because of like, you know, the things you hear environmentally throughout your whole entire life living in the South, like not necessarily from like family for me, but like people in the communities that I grew up in. And it's really hard to shed that. But I think really like learning to care about yourself and want yourself to be happy enough to just say like, you know, fuck it, I am who I am, and I love that about me.
Yeah, I love that. Taking the time to do some self-reflection and realize in putting yourself first, realizing that you need to put yourself first.
Right. It's just like, do you wanna be happy, or do you wanna spend your entire life making yourself miserable, trying to make everybody else happy and comfortable with your identity when you don't have to do that? Like, you, especially it's 2020, like you really don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah. And if, in your instance, you know, if you're in a place that is not accepting and it's taking a toll on mental health, like you fuck it, move. Like you can do things like that. And
And it's like also the craziest thing to just say like fuck it and move, because you know a lot of people don't really have the privilege to do that, don't really have the means to just get up and leave a situation. So I'm definitely really lucky in that sense that I had been saving up to take this trip that I wanted to take, and it ended up being loading my shit up in a U-Haul and coming here,
did
which I
you?
cried like all the way.
Oh,
Like the
wow.
whole time, I just sobbed. I was like so happy and so excited to just get out. And so I'm like on the phone with my parents, like my family's taking shifts trying to keep me awake in the car. And I'm just like, I'm so happy.
Did you move alone? Like nobody knew, like nobody was there that you
Yeah,
knew? Yeah.
I didn't know anybody. I had actually never set foot in Colorado, which I get a lot of flack from Colorado natives about this. But yeah, I'd never come here. I had skied in California, Nevada, West Virginia, North Carolina, Utah, but I had never come to Colorado. So that was kind of just like a whim of like where I chose. And yeah, I met a roommate on Facebook and came out here.
Wow. That's
Yeah.
such a like it's so bold to do, but it's like so inspiring because there's so many people that are stuck in similar situations or environments and they're afraid, and it takes a lot of courage. They're afraid to move, they're afraid to make the change. But seeing it work
Yeah.
out like that for you is a wonderful thing. And what did you do once you got to Colorado? Like, how did you start meeting people and making friends and getting into the scene?
Honestly, I just really met people through work. Like I didn't really go anywhere that much my first season because like first of all, I was terrified to drive in the snow. Like that whole first season was the scariest like 8 months of snow of my life. I really did not know what to do. I did not want to drive my car. I rode the bus everywhere. And out of fear of like getting stuck at a bar in a different town, I wouldn't go to the bars. So like all of my friends are just through work, which is a little sad. And then I also got on Tinder and met a couple of people where I would be like, oh yeah, like let's meet up and go ski together. And then we would just be friends and like not, it would never really amount to anything else because I was really just trying to find friends. But I was living in like, I don't know if this makes sense, but like the other side of the county from where I am right now is, I guess, less densely populated and there's less of like a nightlife scene. There's like a couple of breweries and like one bar over there, and that's where I lived at first. And now I live on the side of the county where there are bars and people and activities to do, and so it's been a lot easier to get out over here and like meet a more of a community of people.
Sure. And well, not now with COVID, but I'm sure that like it's been
Well, yeah,
nice.
not right now. We're all now. Yeah, and but like I really do think like a big thing about living out here is meeting people through work friends, because then you like before COVID, like you would go out to the bar and if you were just like alone trying to meet friends, like you'd run into like 100 tourists. And they're like wanting to be like, oh yeah, do you like want to come back to my villa that I rented for the week and we can just have a night and then never speak again? And it's like, no, like I'm kind of looking for like buddies. Like I live here, I have to be all year. Yeah, and it's like a largely fluctuating community in terms of like visitors and then seasonal people as well. Like I say it all the time, but the saddest part about living here is that like all of my best friends have been seasonal and they've left after their one season. So it's like I get super close and then, you know, May or June comes, the snow starts to melt, the resorts start to close, and they just go home back to wherever they
Oh
came from. Yeah.
no. That's it's like it's like a summer fling, but with friendships.
I'm like, I've tried to find a best friend and everybody's leaving.
But you're dating a man now, right?
Yeah, I am. He's a
Is
man.
he's not seasonal.
No, he's not. Which is, I don't know how I found this man, honestly. He is like actually somewhat intelligent and like he's clean and attractive and nice to me. And I'm like, how did I find you in this county? I don't know. Yeah, luckily I did.
And so being bisexual, that it mean it can it means it fluctuates, right? Like for you, I know everyone's different that's bi, but like for you, does it mean does it liking does attraction to girls and guys, does it depend on the day and like what does that look like?
I mean, it kind of depends on the day. I don't know. I feel like I end up in a lot of relationships with guys just because, like, I don't know. A lot of girls you meet are like, oh, you're bi. Like, I don't want to deal with you know? Like, but yeah, no, I've probably am like more attracted to women. But yeah, I just like end up around guys, and I think it's probably because I'm like super feminine presenting and I passed for very straight. So it's like probably nobody knows. I kind of like, you know, all those TikToks where they're like, I like your shirt. Are you gay? And I'm just, I feel like that sometimes. I'm like, I'm not straight. Look at me.
Right.
But
You gotta do that, or do you listen to Girl in Red? That's like the lesbian code
yeah, I know. Or like, I guess sweater weather is the bi code word.
word.
I do like that song a lot, like a lot, which maybe explains some things. I did listen to that on repeat for like years after it came out.
Oh.
But
Yeah, well,
yeah.
oh, so do your but your parents don't know, or you never really came out in like a way where you like announced it to anyone, right?
Yeah, I didn't like ever have the conversation with my family, and I don't know if they gained the knowledge about it when I was in high school, when I was like 15, and or gained the knowledge that I was like thinking about it. And then like I wonder if they just never thought about it after that. If they were just like, oh, whatever, like that was a passing phase, like she'll get over it or what. But yeah, we just have never had a conversation about it. Like I've never told them like, oh, hey, like I'm talking to a girl, hey, I'm seeing a girl. It's just been so like don't ask, don't tell in terms of the
Yeah.
family.
How does that work for you? Like, are you okay with that, or does that harbor any internal feelings of insecurities or not being able to be yourself?
Yeah, so like right now I guess I'm okay with it. I like just because like my life is so far removed from them right now, you know what I
Sure.
mean?
You're in a
Like
different state and you're like, yeah.
yeah, like I'm a 30-hour drive away from them. I'm a 6-hour plane ride from them. It's like we're in different time zones and it's like I feel so removed that it's like okay, well I can live this life here and live that life there. And that's fine because, you know, like I was never interested in anybody in my hometown, period, male, female, anybody. No offense if for some reason they're watching this. But like, yeah, and so it's never been a problem for me to like go home and just be like, yeah, it is what it is. But you know, if I were to end up with a woman, like I would have to like ball up and finally do it. But and it's like I think the reason I haven't is just because like I'm still scared in a way of like if I tell them it like will it change what they think of me or are they still going to be like you're the same daughter that we had and raised like you're the same daughter that had X, Y, and Z accomplishments we loved you through this, this, and this. And genuinely they probably would still be the people that are like oh we still love you but part of the back of my brain is like oh fuck what if they like disown me.
Yeah, and that's a very valid and very common fear that a lot of LGBT or queer people face. I mean,
Yeah.
it's the
Yeah.
struggle that we all go through. But it's
And it's
great that
weird to
like
have
you are self-sufficient, because like in the worst case scenario where they did, like that sucks that you might lose a family member, but like at least you're not reliant on them to provide you with everything and
Yeah, right.
housing, food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so honestly, like the past couple of days I've been thinking about like what if I go on this podcast and like somehow they see and they get really upset or like something crazy like that. And then I was like, I pay my own bills. Like I work, like I've been out of college, like I have a degree, I pay my bills, so I'm lucky to be like in a situation where like it wouldn't really be the end of the earth besides like if I did lose my family, but like again, I think it's just like this crazy irrational fear that I have and not anything that's actually like founded in any fact or like any past behaviors that they've had really.
Yeah,
So.
and having a supportive environment within your friend group is has got to help a lot too, right? Like just knowing that your friends have your back and that your friends love you for who you are, it sure makes life easier in terms of that sense.
Yeah, and it's been really cool because like I found through friends at work, actually, I found like a group of gay friends here that are year-round people, and so I was like, that's awesome. And so like I always have them, you know, and they're never gonna go because of that, right? And you know, a couple of them moved away when COVID hit. I think they're coming back, and we're just like all gonna vibe. We were gonna go to Pride together, and clearly that it never happened.
One day, I'm so upset that all the prides got canceled because, like, it would have actually been. I went to the pride in Oxford a few times, or like the last 2 years I was there, but that's not like an actual, like a real pride event. It's not like a big parade. I was looking forward to like an LA or San Diego pride, but we'll get that eventually.
I know, I was like, it'll be my first pride, it'll be so much fun, and then all of a sudden it just fell away. Yeah, Oxford Pride, man, I remember when that was going on, and I was just like, I would never show my face there. I was like, I could never go, I would never go to that. But they looked like they were having a lot of fun, and I was just sitting in my house like, you're straight, you're a sorority girl. The fraternity boys love you. You love the fraternity boys. Like, you love that shit, the white boys. Yes. And it was
Telling yourself all these
like,
things, the white
yeah,
man.
trying to like meditate myself into being attracted to these like nicotine addicted, drug addicted frat boys that just like disrespect women and lie. That's all they do.
Disrespect women, lie, and say the N-word.
Literally, and yell about building the wall.
That's
That
it. It's a trip. It's funny looking back on it and seeing like what that environment was. I lived in the fraternity house my sophomore year, and just like, oh my God, like I'm just gonna say this.
when
I don't know if I'll edit it out, but there's definitely things that I could get canceled for, like that occurred in the fraternity house that I was just like a part of because I was part of being there.
Yeah, I
But
know. And I'm like, so it's weird for me because, like, I feel like there's so much that I could get canceled for, but, like, who am I going to get canceled by? Like, I'm not an influencer. I don't have a following. Like, it doesn't really matter. But I'm just, like, so scared that, like, the ignorant shit that I did is going to, like, come back and haunt me and ruin my life. Like, it terrifies me every day. And I'm like, I've grown, I've learned, I've educated myself, I've apologized, but like people still want to cancel you.
it's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous that we cancel people for their past mistakes when they've owned up for it and clearly have learned and grown and become an advocate for marginalized groups. Like it's ridiculous that we would try to do that. Because as soon as we start canceling everybody for their past, then how does that encourage growth? It doesn't. Like we nobody will. I mean, people will still grow, but like they're not allowing them to grow. They're not allowing people to grow and then move into a platform that advocates for social justice and fixing the inequalities.
Right,
So.
because you want to think like, oh, that person, you know, they didn't support it back then, but like they learned and they grew and now they are a supporter. And if we cancel all the people that like didn't support the right causes 5, 6, 7 years ago, then like that's a lot of people that could help that, you know, we kind of rid ourselves of just out of like not wanting a second chance. But I
And
don't know, it's none of my business to cancel or not cancel anyone. It really is not. So
sure. And like
I
that the funny thing is like life is about growth, like personal growth. Like every day you like people like we should try to get better in something, whether it's our work, our relationships, or our knowledge of the world and our perspective on things. Like we should always be trying to grow.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it's about.
When you were in the closet in a sorority and in Oxford, did you experience like what did that look like on your side of things? Because I know for me, I could definitely say there was a ton of homophobia in a fraternity, or at least like what you'd hear F slurs and things like that. But how did girls think about LGBT community and things like that that you were around?
So I didn't stay in the sorority for long. I found that it was not for me. Actually, like, in the middle of my second year of college. So, like, I didn't spend that long in the sorority. And honestly, like, I had just, like, pushed that whole, like, part of me down and away, and I wasn't even thinking about it or anything like that early on in college, because I had this crazy boyfriend that I was trying to deal with, you know. That took a lot of energy. But yeah, and so I got out pretty quick. I've heard some stories from some girls who were out in the sorority, like in multiple different sororities, that did have like a lot of troubles. And it like, there's a lot of support. Like, that's the thing, is like, I feel like a lot of it comes from the national level, and a lot of the girls are just like, whatever, who cares? Like, you're gay, so what? Like, who cares? You know, doesn't change anything. So I wouldn't say like, oh, the sorority's homophobic. But yeah, I mean, just at that school in general, I just feel like there's so much of every phobia, you know?
Literally.
Like, honestly.
You're scared of anything that's not straight, white, cisgendered, and Republican.
Right. It's sad. It's a sad life. So it's, yeah, you definitely gotta be a certain type of person.
Were you always like a closeted leftist, or did you legitimately think that you know, were more on the right wing, and then through experiences and through reflection you became leftist? Or were you, what is your journey on that, on changing your mindset?
So here's the thing. I would be like, I'm socially liberal, but I'm financially conservative. Like, that was my life. I really thought, because like, I never felt personally, and like, obviously some of the things I said were like passively racist, like by supporting, you know, certain causes like Colonel Reb and all that crap, and just like, obviously. But I never thought, like, I was always like, I'm not a racist. I'm not homophobic. Like, I don't think, like, we should let gay people get married. We should absolutely let gay people get married. We should, like, I don't think that we should be controlling women's uteruses and like all that stuff. So socially, I felt like I was very liberal. And then I was like, a wealthy kid having everything paid for me. And so I was like, no, we shouldn't give money out to people who need it. Like, and I look back and I'm like, what on earth was I talking about?
Yeah.
Because now, you know, it's like, I've experienced real life. I've gotten out of like where my parents are paying for everything. And I like realized that people actually do struggle. And, you know, under my old beliefs, I would have been like, opposing the shitty $1,200 stimulus we got and all, like all that stuff. And it's just, I mean, it's just crazy how much things change whenever you like finally experience life for real.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then, you know, finally when I like grew into the whole like, okay, I'm not socially liberal, I'm fiscally conservative, like you can't be both at once, you know. And then I was like, okay, well, I am a leftist. And then I took a lot of time to really reflect on the causes that I had supported, or, you know, even said I supported, wore the sticker for, whatever, back in college. And I was like, holy shit, those things were really hurtful to people. Like, that sucks.
Yeah.
And it was like, where I never meant it that way. But yeah, it was wrong. I was in the wrong.
It was you were awakening yourself. You were moving yourself from a place of privilege. And I identify with this too. Like we grew up in a bubble. I feel like we're similar in terms of maybe our backgrounds or our raising. And so we grew up in a place of privilege and didn't really just understand the struggle that many, many people face, and that, you know, there's a enormous wealth inequality gap, and that the way the laws are written and the way taxes go and business happens, like it's meant to make the rich get richer and keep the rest of us struggling.
Yeah. And you know what? That's been something that like my eyes have been open to even more since living where I live now. Like the last house I lived in was this like little shitty ass shack. There were five, six of us living in there, and we were each paying over $1,000 a month, which is like you can't live off, like if you're paying $1,000+ a month in rent, you can afford ramens and that's it. Like you there the companies here don't pay the workers that well, but the landlords who like maybe this is their fifth home and they don't have anything to do with it, so they want to rent it out so they can make money off of just the fact that they own that property. They don't want to charge a reasonable rent because they see it as like a cash cow property. And so that situation, in this like rundown little shack with six people, and then like three houses down the road from us are like these 10 bedroom mansions. Like there was this house that had a fleet of 2020 Range Rovers in front of it, and I saw somebody at that house 3 days out of the year I lived there. Like they had every color that was made of those Range Rovers, and they never came to the house, never used them. And it just made me think so much about like, okay, so the people that come to this county to work in this industry are working our asses off, making nearly nothing to keep this industry afloat, to make the vacations possible for the people whose mansions sit empty, while I would say probably like 30% of people who are local here are struggling to keep a roof over their head, are living in their car so that they can stay in the county. Like, and it's just crazy that like all of these houses just sit empty while like we just struggle and work so that the rich can come on their vacations here.
Jeez. That imagine just having the money to buy every color Range Rover. You're just like, fuck it. Like,
Yeah,
I'm
right. It's like,
and then
yeah,
people
I'm
are
gonna buy.
struggling.
And it's kind of hard to watch sometimes, and especially like even on the ski lifts, like people don't realize they're not aware of who's around them, right? So I was in the gondola one day on one of my days off, and there were some girls in the gondola with me, and they were discussing how they want to buy a house up here. And they were talking about how like it's so disgusting that people like live in their cars. That's like they're homeless. Like, can you imagine how gross and how smelly and like that is just disgusting. And then they went right back to their, well, yeah, I mean like a house up here will run you a cool mill at least. Like I'm budgeting out like 3 million for it and like all this stuff. And I was just like, gee, I'm like, I don't live in my car, but I've almost lived in my car because it's because people like you are buying the $3 million houses and there's nowhere left for us.
The ignorance of some people and just the audacity. Like, did you see Parasite?
Yes, I loved that movie. It
That
was so good. So
so good.
good.
It highlights what you're talking about perfectly. I mean, in a wonderful cinematic way, it demonstrates the you I guess ignorance of this top 1% of people that just don't even realize that their actions and the way that they look at the world is totally different than the majority of people.
Yeah, it's so funny actually. Like yesterday or maybe the day before, I was talking about that movie with somebody and they were like, yeah, you better hope there's not somebody living in your basement. And I was like, I am the person in the basement, like it's me. Honestly, I'm like, I'm the basement dweller, it's fine.
How has COVID affected your work and I guess the industry and the seasons or what happens in Colorado? How like did everything get closed down and people out of work?
So I was in an interesting position where like I ran home for a weekend actually right before this happened, like before we were on high alert about COVID. I almost got stuck in North Carolina. I was like panicking trying to change my flight because I like needed to get back here for my job. I made it back, and then like a week and a half later, all the shutdowns happened. So Colorado went into shelter in place, and we all the resorts shut down completely. So then I stayed to help get the employees home, to get everybody offboarded, to get, all of their things turned in, to get their paychecks to them, all that good stuff. And then unfortunately, there was another round of cuts in which most people were furloughed, but due to my job coding, I was gone. I don't think that position exists anymore, actually. So I've probably applied to like 300 jobs in the past 4 months. Just been doing that, and trying to sort of gauge whether or not these resorts are even going to open this winter. Like I don't know how it would be possible, but I'm sure that with the amount of money that the both the companies and the state in general have to lose, like they'll definitely try to open.
You'd think that they'd want to open it, and like skiing and resort, like it's they could do it in a way that's safe, and I mean it's mostly outside, but they could do the dining hall and everything and set it up in a way that's social distance and is protective. So I mean I would hope that things get back to normal, but the way the president's handling this crisis has just absolutely like decimated any hope for that. I feel like it's did you hear about Japan and how like how well they're handling the case or the corona?
Maybe. I know
So
that
the
New Zealand was over it like a month ago.
yeah, New Zealand's over it. Japan had like 72 cases. They kept everything open, so no businesses really got shut down, but they just mandated masks. And the culture there has a respect for hygiene and respect for health. So everyone happily wore a mask. Everyone happily socially distanced, and they beat corona in just like in a month. So it's go
I
ahead.
think the problem that we're having with it is just that people see it as like an infringement on their rights and like their personal freedoms because like the United States, like we're over here like with our bald eagles screaming like freedom. And it's like, yeah, I mean like you this is a free country. You are still free, but like we're in a global health crisis right now and like maybe you sacrifice like I don't know, like what are you sacrificing by wearing a mask? Nothing, but people see it as like, I didn't make the choice myself to wear this, so that is like an infringement on my freedom. I'm not free anymore. And that's just crazy to me because it's like, you know what else you could be free to be doing right now? Going to work, going to concerts, going to the movie theater, going to the grocery store, not having to wait in a line. Like, we are stuck in the house because nobody wants to like be considerate enough to everybody else around them to just wear a freaking mask.
Right. And it's funny that these micro attacks on freedom as I'll call it. It's like no, like we have laws and we have rules all around us as a society. Like we go, we hop in the car, we slap on a seatbelt. That's not an infringement on freedom. That's just being safe and looking out for the best interests of people. I don't get where they're coming from. I mean, if they want to talk about oppression, we can talk about how we weren't able to get married to a same-sex partner 5 years ago.
Yeah, that is so crazy too, that that's like so recent.
Yeah, I do you remember where you were when you saw the news that like same-sex marriage was passed?
I have no idea, honestly. Oh my God. What was happening back then?
I remember I just remember because I was working at Chick-fil-A of all places. It was my summer job, and I was in the back
Oh my God.
room, and I got a Fox News notification like on my phone, and of
Fox
course it was
News of
Fox
all
News.
things.
This is back in the day. This is back in the day. And but I remember like tearing up just a little bit on the inside, just like having like still in the closet and everything, but like just having this enormous warmth of happiness for myself, but for the overall gay community. And it was quite, I don't know, it was something I won't forget, just because I remember like my emotions at that time and what I was feeling. It was very freeing. It was very comforting seeing that. But as a closeted person, I was like, I didn't know how to process it. But yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, did part of me think like, oh shit, now it could be real. Like now I could actually live openly and like end up with a man. Like what? That's
exactly what happened. I was like, wait, I was like, holy shit. Like I could actually have a wonderful life with a wonderful partner and be married to them down there. It was like a pipe dream though. Cause I was in the closet and so I didn't want to acknowledge it, but it gave me that sense of comfortability, later down the road. So.
Yeah. I just remember like back when the whole debate over same-sex marriage was still occurring, like I definitely had not yet accepted and like it had not like fully clicked yet that like I am attracted to both genders, so I could end up with either one. So I never thought about like it affecting me personally, but like I've always just thought like how like if it doesn't affect you, then like why do you care?
Right.
You know? like if gay people want to get gay married, like who let them? Like let them be happy. My God, it's not hard to just let people live their lives and be happy. Like none of us asked to be born on this earth. I just want to put this out there. Like, none of us asked to be here. Like, why are any of us on this earth trying to make it harder for people to be happy? Like, yeah. why don't we just do our best to leave everybody alone, leave everybody to their own happiness, to make it a little bit easier for everybody else that is also stuck here. Like, you know, so I remember like when that whole debate was going on, just thinking like, shit, like, why does it even matter to you, straight man? Like, why does it matter to you, straight woman? Like, you're not going to get gay married, so it doesn't affect you. Like, if two men want to get married, like, they'll probably be happier together than you and your wife are, honestly. Like, it has always just blown my mind how much people on this earth want to regulate the choices that other people make. And it's like, if it's not harming themselves or you or anybody else, then let them.
Yeah, yeah. Just let them. They want to talk about freedom. How about the freedom to get gay married?
Right. Like, just let people be happy. Ugh, it's just so crazy that, like, still it's 2020 and, like, still some people don't agree with gay marriage and, like, still some people walk around saying, like, I have gay friends, but I just don't agree with their lifestyle choice. And, okay, first of all, those people aren't your friends then because you are saying these things about them. But, yeah, it's just so wild that, like, nobody has figured out that, like, you should stay in your lane and let other people do what they need to do to like be happy.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a religion thing, which isn't an excuse, but I don't know. I don't understand it. And I the purpose of these conversations and doing is to educate people and to let people realize that like this is like we just want the same. Like we want happiness, we want equality, and it's really no harm to you. Should that be achieved,
right?
Like, what? Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, I was basically gonna say just the same thing. So,
what would you tell your younger self now? Whether it was in high school or in college, if you're talking to younger Molly, what would you tell them addressing their struggles and their concerns with life?
I mean, I would tell her to just keep going, you know, like there have been so many times in the past where I like sat down and was just like, it would literally be easier if I did not exist right now. Like it would be so much easier if everything would just stop. And, you know, just to tell her to just keep going, just keep breathing, just keep doing you. Like things do eventually get better. They did finally, you know, from all the years of trying to be like, okay, like it has to get better one day. And to now it finally did. So it's like, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And to add onto that too, if possible, I mean, there's always ways to do it, but to take those steps to achieve what you want, because clearly you made a big step, made a big leap, but to put you in a better place. And without doing that, you know, who knows where you would be now or what life would look like.
Yeah. Yeah. I think going out on a limb and just like doing what I felt like I needed to do in order to get to a better place, like even it being a physical location, like thinking, you know, I feel like I've got to get to Colorado, and I really had no real idea of why, but like it turned out that I guess maybe that intuition was right. So yeah, just like taking that leap sometimes, you know, it's like pretty scary, but so you got to trust yourself. I mean, who else are you going to trust?
Right. Yeah. Trust yourself. Where can people find you? What's your Instagram and TikTok?
My Instagram is at Hi Molly, with two Y's at the end. I don't think I'm private anymore. And then my TikTok is She's on Skis.
She's on Skis. Yeah. Well, keep sending me videos on TikTok. I love them. And okay. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. And let's chat soon.
Let's do it. Let's stay in touch. Thank you all so much for listening. You are all so beautiful and amazing. Make sure to check us out at www.thealphabetmafia.com. You can read our blogs there. You can support our brand. Get a sticker. Get yourself a sticker. That really helps us. It raises brand awareness. You put it on your water bottle. You put it on your laptop. It becomes more of a common thing seen around town. If you want to be featured on our YouTube show where I answer your DMs and emails regarding, you know, your situation you're in or needing advice, you can email us at info@thealphabetmafia.com. Again, that's info@thealphabetmafia.com. Just put in the headline LGBTQ+ advice, something like that, and I will try and read it and then use it on the show. Of course, if you need serious help, you can visit the trevorproject.org, or you can give them a call at 1-866-488-7386. If you are in need of serious help, please reach out to those people immediately. They will be more than happy to help in a tremendous way. Thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you have a beautiful morning, evening, whatever it is. Good night.